from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour on 670 The Score is brought to you by Cards for Kids. That's Cards with a K for Kids.
Now the 2-2 on the way. And Baez drives one in the air. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Cubs win. Javi Baez with a game-winning home run.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
I have to assume that that highlight will be one of the ones that play in a video tribute tonight at Wrigley Field.
I certainly hope so.
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot that could play. It's got to be something involving base running and just the wackiness that that man would bring to a field. And then that home run, maybe the 2016 NLDS one that that beat Johnny Cueto and the Giants that night. It's we'll have to see exactly what happens. We are joined now here on the afternoon show with Spiegs and Anthony Herron by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Brett, what's up, man? Welcome to The Score. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What was it? I mean, did you enjoy watching Javier Baez in his prime as much as we did? And what the hell has happened in your opinion?
I'll tell you. You know, I did watch him. You know, that right when they were changing the rules on the tag. You know, Javi was the newest, hottest. Wow, he tags faster than everybody else. So he caught my eye early. I remember him as a young player. I worked with the Oakland A's for a year, and around 2014, he was a young big leaguer at that time. You know, the sky was the limit with him from a physicality standpoint. Had some great years with the Cubs, was an all-star a couple times, went to the post, played, stayed pretty much injury-free. And it seems like, other than his first year in Detroit, I think he hit 17 home runs. Ever since then, it's kind of been on a two-year real troublesome times for him. Now, as a player, I've gone through it. You know, I came up in 1992, 1994, I hit 320. And in 1996, man, I really lost. I mean, I had nights under the bleachers at Old Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, with tears in my eyes. Well, what has happened? I can't hit. And that lasted for 2 years, 96, 97. After the 97 season, I just revamped my entire swing and got back to being a real productive player again. The league had made the adjustment to me. I had not made the adjustment to the league. And that's what I see from Javi in the last couple of years is just, there is just no adjustment. It's that same freewheeling swing, which I can understand the subconscious as a hitter. It's always telling yourself, well, I've had some great years. I've hit 30-plus home runs with this swing. But until you get to the point where it's so bad where you're going, I have to make a major change. And it's not something you make mid-season. You know, it's not that easy. It's not like a golf swing that you revamp for 6 weeks, especially in the middle of the big league season. Big league season, you got to make any adjustment you can survive the 162. And then in the offseason, you have to do a complete makeover just to get that confidence back. Because after a while, as confident as we may seem on the outside, we're pretty vulnerable when it comes to our egos when things don't go good. And if you have as much failures as Javi's had in his recent career, you can't help but, you know, it's a lack of confidence. And I see it. They just played a series with the Mariners, I saw him hit a two-run homer to win a game, and that was like, he's got, what, 7 or 8 this year. So, yeah, he's really fallen a long, long way ever since he signed that contract. Thing about it is I look at his plate appearances, and it's not like he went away and hide. You know, he didn't sign the deal and then quit playing and always on the IL. He's playing this year. You know, his plate appearances are down with some injuries. But when you're hitting 188, you're going to have more days off. Believe me, I've lived through it. And you're going to have more days off than you want when you're not getting it done at the plate.
We've seen so many examples here in Chicago between the two ball clubs of players who look like they were going to be stars in this town and sustainable success, whether it's Tim Anderson or Chris Bryant, Javi Baez we're talking about right now, returning to town. At the moment, Wilson Contreras seems to be the only one, at least out of the names I mentioned here, who went elsewhere, you know, faltered for a little bit, and has now sort of found himself in St. Louis. Baseball is such an individual sport. Where does the adjustment period, is that born from within the player? Do they usually initiate it with the ball club? Does it come from the ball club to the player to say, hey, here's what we want you to work on this offseason. Here's a team to help you do it.
No, it's an individual to individual type basis. It's not somebody from the front office is going to come down and say, hey, we really need, no, you know, my answer is, oh, really? I didn't know. I thought I was doing great. You think I need to up my average? You think my OPS needs to be higher? You think I need to start swinging at more strikes? Believe me, as a player, and that's why hitting is the hardest thing to do, I believe, in all of sports, is it's hard. And, man, it's humbling. To go through the things I've gone through in my career, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say when you're talking about a player, when they're struggling, when they're doing well, flip over their bubblegum card, and you can usually see what to expect at the end of a season. Some seasons are really good. Some seasons are right where you believe, a little below. But usually a player follows that bubblegum card. With Javi Baez, it definitely doesn't. With myself, it definitely doesn't. I had all-star years in the early 90s. In the early 2000s, I had some lean years in the middle 90s. So with no rhyme or reason, all I know is as a big league player, when you get to the big leagues, you're supposed to be a finished product. You're not supposed to be a work in progress. That's for the minor leagues. So the onus is on us as players to figure out what is wrong. When it gets bad enough, it's like, wait a minute, I got to scrap this. I got to go back to the basics and redo this and make an adjustment. Because if you don't make adjustment, eventually you won't have a uniform anymore. Hmm. And that's what happens to a lot of players.
Talking to Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. All right, I'm looking at the baseball reference page, Brett, and you know, you referenced the years of 96 and 97 where
wow.
the batting, well, you asked for it. Yes. I appreciate it. I mean, but let's have the realness, you know. OPS,
right.
OPS is 630, 629, and then the bounce back comes. But you had not been paid in terms of a big, big contract at that point. Javi now has. Chris Bryant in Colorado now has. Here, observing the White Sox, we've been watching Eloy Jimenez, who got one of those preemptive extensions. Luis Robert, who got one of those preemptive extensions. And, you know, and you hate to go towards character assassination, but maybe there's a way to talk about it that isn't character assassination. I mean, you must have seen it where with the guaranteed contract, somebody gets paid, and the desire to make that change that you made that offseason, it's probably tougher to access when the guaranteed money is coming in on some level, no?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and I think, yes, I think you're right. You have to be very aware of the individual you're dealing with that you're going to give that big-time money to. You know, there's a lot that goes into that more than just the numbers that particular year. I have to do a wide scope on what am I paying this guy on? What do I think he's going to do if I give him this kind of money? I know from and I can only speak for myself. My first big deal was, I signed a deal in the 90s, but I signed a big deal with the Seattle Mariners, big in our day, for 2001. And I signed a 4-year deal. And I know for me individually, that didn't matter one bit. I remember some early in 2002, I was having a tough time. And I remember the reporters talking to me about this and saying, Brett, you signed a big deal. Does that have anything to do with it? And I remember, and this is as honest as I could be with them, I said, I could care less what that check says every 2 weeks. Now, one day when I'm done playing and I'm with my family, I'm going to be more than grateful for the money I was able to make. But at the time, in the moment, for me, the individual, I could care less how much money I was making. I was still playing like I was that rookie in 1992 to prove that I was worthy of that contract. I always found something to play for. And the money had no bearing on how I played the game, how much I cared about my results in the game. It was just never a factor for me. Well, that's me. I've also seen people that do sign those deals get really comfortable, and they really don't care, and they mail it in a little bit. So I think from an ownership standpoint, from a front office standpoint, you have to be really prudent when you're giving out these big deals, especially the money that's going around now. You really have to break down the individual and not just the statistics.
And Brett, we've seen two different approaches, really. When you kind of look at the past decade here in town with the baseball teams, each have tried to build sustainability. The Cubs built up their minor league system a little over a decade ago, and then less than a decade ago, it led to a World Series title. But that excellence was sustained only for a short period of time. White Sox took the opposite approach a few seasons later. They went ahead, built up their minor league system, and then paid everybody before they got to the bigs. They haven't sustained a thing. Which approach in modern baseball do you think makes more sense? Once you build up the minors?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Do you pay them early and hope to develop them later, or is it the inverse?
Well, I think if you go way back to the years with the Cleveland Indians, they were the first to really do that. Buy their young players out of arbitration a couple years and go from that. The Manny Ramirez's, the Jim Tomey's of the early 90s. That's what they did in Cleveland, and that was kind of the model. I think today, if you look at the blueprint of what to do, run it like the Tampa Bay Rays. Talk about a winning culture with limited resources. You look at the money. You know, of course, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers of the world, they're going to have huge payrolls, and you have some flexibility about how you seek other players via free agency or through trades. Have a lot more resources at your fingertips. I look at the Tampa Bay Rays year in and year out, the culture they've established there. And I've got to give a lot of credit to that organization. They have limited payroll, one of the lower payrolls year in and year out. And yet every year they're knocking at that door to go to the postseason. And I think Kevin Cash and company have really developed a winning culture. I think when teams go to the Tampa Bay Rays, I think when they walk through that door in spring training, you expect to win. It's like, no, not whether we're going to go to the postseason, when we go to the postseason, and how far are we going to get in the postseason. The only thing Tampa Bay hasn't done is won a World Series. But I think as far as modeling a franchise, man, imagine having their model with some more resources, what the Tampa Bay Rays could do. So I think as far as a model that, I think it's in today's game, it's just that winning culture, and I can't talk enough about it. It's about being a manager. It's not about the X's and O's. It's not about bringing the lefty in the seventh. It's not about bringing the righty tendencies. The computer can do all that nowadays. We have unbelievable data at our fingertips, but it's running individuals. It's being a people person. It's being the CEO of a company. It's dealing with egos and personalities in that clubhouse, dealing with stars and dealing with the 26 man on the roster. I think you have to know how to go up to one guy, give him a kick in the butt, and you got to give that next guy a hug to get the same results. And I think that's what the great managers and the great managers I played for definitely did. I remember in the early 90s, Davey Johnson, one of the best managers I've ever played for. Man, he was tough on me. But I see how he was to other players, and he was nice and always giving them hugs. Years later, I asked him, he said, Brett, because I knew if I pushed your buttons and I pissed you off enough, for you, your personality, you played better. And I look back and it was, I said, you were brilliant. He goes, no, I've just been around a little bit. So I think that's what today's job of the manager is you're managing a lot of egos that are making a lot of money. How do I keep them all happy? More importantly, how do I give them the best chance, put them in the best position to succeed? And if I can do that enough times throughout that lineup, I have the best chance of being a successful franchise in the wins and losses when it's all said and done.
See, I love talking about managers. I love that kind of conversation. And what you're saying makes all the sense in the world. And still, I look at the White Sox managerial job, and I have a difficult time seeing how that's as important as some other managerial jobs, because the organization is just so far away and there's so much mess there. It's like, how much difference could a manager even make for the White Sox? And would you take the job?
Well, here's the thing. I think it would be an interesting challenge, but you have to be on the same page with your general manager. I think that's one of the most important things in the job of managers. Are you on the same page as your general manager? I look at a Young and a Bochy in Texas who won a World Series a year ago. They couldn't be on the same page any more than the two of them are. He played for Bruce. Bruce is obviously going to be a Hall of Fame manager. They have the utmost respect for one another, but they work hand in hand from the trade deadline to what we need to what we need to get rid of. And when you have that relationship, it starts there. Now, I can talk as much as I want about managing people. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have talent, you're not going to win at this level. You got to have a certain level of talent. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have all superstars. It's more about putting together a team. It's not just putting together guys that had great years last year. I want to know the personality. I want to know the individual. You can't put certain people with other people. I think a year ago in San Diego, the Juan Soto and the Machado and the Tatis in the same lineup, young superstar players making a lot of money, I don't think it was a good fit. When I saw Soto go to the New York Yankees, I thought that's going to be an unbelievable move, because Soto's going to go into a Yankee clubhouse with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and, Nate Coles of the world, and that's their clubhouse, and he's just going to play like heck. Well, come to find out, if Aaron Judge wasn't in the league, Juan Soto would be the MVP. So I don't think about – it's just about gathering talent and putting the – yeah, if you get an all-star team, you're probably going to win by default. But it's not about gathering talent. It's about gathering talent that works together. And that piece works with that piece, works with that piece. That takes a lot of background work and a lot of tenuous work. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. That's how you build a winning organization and a winning culture. But you got to be on board. You and your general manager, I think that's number one important.
Yeah, my problem with the Yankees is their manager, that guy.
Whew. He's a pain. I'll tell you what, he's a pain in the neck, that guy.
He is, right?
I love him to death. We talk about once a week, and sometimes he's got questions for me. Hey, what do you think about this? I always give him my answer. Sometimes he heeds my advice. Sometimes he doesn't. I tell him I'm right a hell of a lot more than you, Aaron. And then he'll fight me on that. But, you know, I'm proud of him, what he's done. He's on that hot flame all the time when you're in New York. You lose two in a row, you're the worst. They want you hung in the town square. And then a week later, you win 6 out of 7, and you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that's just when you sign the dotted line, when you sign up to be the manager of the New York Yankees, you know what comes with the territory. I had this talk with him a year ago when he signed his extension. He's like, what do you think? I said, what do I think? You're the manager of the New York Yankees. Where the hell else would you want to go? I said, if you win one title there, you're going to have the key to that city for the rest of your life. I said, I can put up with the Twitter guys and the talk radio. You know what you got to do. Hey. You've got control of that clubhouse, and baseball is really hard. It's not 1940 where they can just dominate every year. It's a different atmosphere in big league baseball now, and he knows that. But he's got a good team. You got to stay healthy. 2024, that's what I'm finding covering all these teams, is the people that are healthy at the right time usually have an advantage, because health is such a big part in today's game.
Well, Chicago does have a similar vibe to that New York market. I noticed you didn't answer when Spiegs kind of slid in the question about whether or not you would take the White Sox managerial job. You kind of ignored that part of it, Brett.
I would definitely have conversations. I would definitely, because that's something I've been asked about recently. Whether I'd be, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought about managing. The more I watch it, I think it would be probably the biggest challenge of my lifetime. But I think I'd be really good at it without being arrogant. But if that option, and I were to get into that room and get an interview and have an opportunity to do it, I definitely would have to look at it.
Hey, man.
It's in the bloodlines.
It's in the bloodlines. And
generations.
And jumping from media to manager is quite a thing these days. So
you guys in the media are the easiest part of it.
Hey, that's you too, buddy. That's you. That's you too. Latest episode of the Brett Boone podcast has Scott Podsednik. Scotty Pods is on there with Brett. We'll check it out. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. That's Brett Boone. He joined us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yankees closer guy Clay Holmes has been pretty bad. He's blown 10 saves, the most blown saves in all of baseball. He's ahead of the six that Craig Kimbrell has blown and Hector Neris.
I was going to say, where's Hector Neris?
Yeah, right, Hector Neris blew six saves. He's gone. Hector Neris is gone. And nobody who with at least 16 saves in MLB had a worse walks plus hits per innings pitched than Hector Neris. So of everybody who got save chances and converted some, he was the guy who led up the most in terms of base runners. Mm. And with one of the bits of news of the day, Hector Neris designated for assignment. Hey, I want to tell you about something I'm doing on the 5th of September. It is the night of impact for Ben Zobrist's organization, Champion Forward. And on that night is a gala event at Galleria Marchetti that Ben Zobrist will be there for, and I am your MC that night.
Nice.
On the 5th of September, Thursday night. And so you can check it out. I will tweet out the link at championforward.org/events. There are a couple tickets left. There are a couple tables left. And it is a very, very cool organization that I had known about. We had Ben on this show when it was known by something else.
Okay.
God, I forget what it was called.
Where are you going to tweet the link out at, by the way?
I will tweet it. Damn it, you're getting
just
me.
Just out of clarification. You know, the people need to know.
I'll tweet it from the Parkins and Spiegel account.
Okay, from that account. Yeah. All right.
Champion Forward, their focus is helping teenage athletes, parents, and coaches experience sports in a mentally and emotionally healthy way. They work with schools, travel sports programs, coaching with teams, players, and parents. It's all about mental health, and Ben very, very passionate about it. So championforward.org/events. Check it out, and I look forward to being there on the 5th of September.
It was a parallel that I floated on this show, but neither you nor the other guy were here. It was me and Groats. And I'd be curious to get your thoughts on a parallel between baseball on the South Side and where the Bears are at right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're gonna bridge the gap between baseball conversation that we've been having and the Chicago Bears that everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah, I'd be very curious for your thoughts on it.
That's next here on The Afternoon Show with Speaks and Ann Heron on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.